Hang on there. Okay. Well, okay, Angie. Full screen. Which one is full screen? This is the first time this has done this to me. Where am I seeing?
Wow, we broke it.
We broke it.
What do you mean to me? Well, I'll be all right.
I guess.
You can see it.
That's not what we want.
Because it doesn't give you that option.
Oh, well. Oh, well. Okay. Holy Spirit, we know you've been poured out on us, your children. Give us thoughts above our own and teach us and inspire us. Unite us by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We are listening for your voice. Amen. So, the quote there on your handout on slide number 2, God the Creator intends to bring heaven and earth together at last, and his plan has been decisively inaugurated in Jesus Christ. And we believe that. When the first century Jews talked about eternal life, they weren't thinking of going to heaven in the way that we think of it. Eternal life meant the age to come, the time when God would bring heaven and earth together, and the time when God's kingdom would come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we look back, and when we read scripture, we have our understanding of eternal life, but the first century Jewish understanding was a little different. That age to come on earth was in their mindset. Ephesians 3, 1 to 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, for surely you've already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation as I wrote above in a few words. That's chapter 2. You go back and read what he wrote. A reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And the next slide emphasizes verse 6. That is, the mystery is the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I've become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. Your next slide highlights verse 10, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access and boldness and confidence through faith in him. In your handout, there's a outline of the book of Ephesians. And it fits with this, the mystery of Christ, the mystery of God. It's God's intention. We all come together. Grace through faith. Salvation comes by grace through faith. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works, and we're made one people, united in Christ, equal before God. We're called to embody the gifts of grace. The purpose of the gifts is to equip God's people to do ministry in God's name. And then we are designated the creators of the body to build up the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the sum of the gifts of its members, and it only becomes a body when each part works as it should. Number 9, if we are a body, then the head is Christ. The dynamic, thank you, Angie. The dynamic is unity and diversity, not conformity. The more variety, the more power. And the task is gifts management, and the purpose is the edification or building up of the body.
All right, let me get to that slide.
So there's a movie, I don't remember what year, called Drumline. Yeah, and the band director, do you remember the tagline for the band? One band, one sound. All these instruments in the band playing their parts, but it's one band and the goal is one sound. It's a powerful, powerful statement. And I'm quoting from this little book, Each One a Minister. The secret is out. Jesus Christ has become the source of a new personal salvation and the center of a new universal kinship, K-I-N-ship. We are all one body, one spirit, one race. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that news must be made public. Paul was made a servant of that gospel in order to take the message of the infinite riches of Christ to all people. Even being in prison didn't stop him. But making that gospel known to all, to everyone, that's a responsibility of all believers. And no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we're doing or where we're called to be or our age or gender, all believers are responsible to share the gospel. And it's a responsibility of the whole body of Christ, the church. Paul told the Ephesians that it's by means of the gospel that universal secret, that mystery of kinship has been revealed. And it's by means of the church that truth will be known everywhere. Even the heavenly powers learn it from the church. And I always imagine that anytime the church gathers, that the powers of darkness tremble. On Sundays, from wherever it starts, Sunday starts somewhere, I don't know, out in Atlantic, somewhere. So the time it's done, out in the Pacific somewhere, the power of darkness trembles. Because the church is making known the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, making disciples is more than preaching. The whole church is responsible. And he's given each believer gifts to do that very thing. So ministries for here and now. It varies from place to place and from time to time. But it's always important for Christians to be in ministry of all kinds. Proclaiming the word, demonstrating its application to the needs of the church and the world. When we have become reconciled, made friends with God, we are always expected to be making friends for Jesus, doing the work of reconciliation, or serving through acts of ministry. So that unity with diversity, that's creation. God created with the unity of the heavens and earth with diversity. There's not just one kind of tree. There's not even one kind of oak tree. There's lots. That's just one example. When each part works as the Holy Spirit designates and equips us to do, one band, one sound. So the following is an example of disunity.
That's not, can you hear that? No. All right, we're gonna get it. This is completely different than I've had every other Sunday.
It worked earlier. while she's figuring that out, we had a lovely, just beautiful, always. What's that?
Silas.
And Heather and Cameron Trail. Which daughter and granddaughter of Calvin. Silas is the fiance of
the other.
Yeah, not
I don't know how to get it back.
Maybe usually you can go back here and go back.
Maybe we need to exit out and get into the program. Okay. Just play it from there. But yeah, I've never had that happen before.
Hold on. Press on. Try one more thing.
Well, get a snack.
We're talking.
Oh, so what was the problem there? Not one band, one sound. Yeah. How would you define that? Libby's not here as our choir director. Cacophony. Oh, that's a good word. Everyone just kind of doing their own thing, right? Yeah. And the result was cacophony. But what were the reactions of the people who were listening? Yeah. Yeah, no one wanted to listen to that.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you back, Andy. Angie, I have another one. Cuss. We now have the beginning of submission.
Thank you. Beginning of submission.
Come over on this side.
Oh, there we go. I'm so sorry, this isn't working well. They asked her to be the choir director. Well, yeah. Oh, so we should pause it?
Yeah.
Blinded. Bring that speaker over here. I have that turned up all the way in case that's...
Well, hold on.
We won't need that microphone. No, he needs it to speak. Thank you.
So, what happened to enact change? Staying together.
Different leadership.
Yeah, different leadership. What else?
Confidence.
Confidence.
Teaching.
Teaching.
Kindness.
Kindness. Yeah. Yeah. I think that was key. The individual one-on-one helping people, you know, check your batteries. That was key. She wasn't in there, you know, berating people for not singing or not singing what they were supposed to. And the result was one band, one sound. So in this little booklet from Brethren Press, Guide for New Church Members, I give this to each person the baptismal candidates receive. The promises we make when we become members of God's church in a local fellowship. Faith in Jesus as God's Son and our Savior, turning from sin and following Jesus, and faithful participation in the life of the church. And faithful participation in the life of the church looks like this. To be loyal to the church in our prayers. To uphold the church with our presence. To uphold the church with our substance, sharing faith, sharing life, sharing our wealth or goods. And to uphold the church with our service. And to uphold the church with our service looks like this. All of us are priests. Every believer is called to serve or minister, not just a select few. Serving God includes serving others. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me, said Jesus. And Christ calls us to serve both inside and outside the church. We are to convey in word and deed the caring love which God has revealed in Jesus Christ. That's from our own little Church for Brethren booklet. But William Carter, in this is written from the United Methodist perspective, this booklet. And he quotes from the United Methodist Book of Discipline that the church congregations that have inviting and inspiring worship, disciples engaged in mission and outreach, they're gifted, empowered, and equipped congregational leadership, small groups, and strong children and youth ministries are those the churches that demonstrate the attributes of gratitude and devotion, witness and service, celebration, and discipleship. I did not number my pages. There we go. And congregations that, I already said that. Christian ministry is the expression of the mind and mission of Christ by a community of Christians that demonstrates a common life of gratitude and devotion, witness and service, celebration and discipleship. All Christians are called through their baptism to this ministry of service in the world to the glory of God and for human fulfillment. Because our ultimate goal as members of the body of Christ is to reach out in love, seeking others who need to hear the good news, and forming disciples who will in turn reach out in love to others whom they encounter in their daily lives. And Carter places these ministries of the church in four different categories. Ministries that receive or welcome, ministries that relate or form, ministries that equip, and ministries that send. And those represent, these ministries, I have them over here on the board too, those represent both volunteers and paid people in the church. This book does not allow copies to be made, so I had to do my own thing. So a summary is on your papers. Ministries that receive or welcome are worship ministries, leading, participating in private and public worship opportunities and in private devotional experiences. Congregational care ministries, demonstrating Christian concern and care for people within the congregation and for other people who need comfort, friendship, or personal support. And relational ministries, building personal relationships that become channels of God's love and grace. Don, I'm going to ask you to want you to identify where in the grove we have ministries that receive or welcome. And Don's going to write them up there. According to those definitions on your handout, congregational care, relational ministries, worship ministries. Name something.
Certainly our nurture commission sort of leads an effort of bringing community and our church together to kind of grow us.
Right. So the activities of the nurture commission.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, nurture commission. What else? What else do we do that is in that category?
Family promise.
What we're going to discover is a lot of crossover. If I would have had a bigger board, I could have made a Venn diagram. What are we doing this morning in about half an hour? Worship. There we go.
The deacons.
There you go. All right. Let's keep moving on. But you can also jot things down on your paper. Ministries that relate, teaching and learning ministries, helping people acquire knowledge of faith, increasing their understanding and skills for ministry, spiritual growth ministries, starting and ongoing experiences for people who are seeking growth in their relationship with God, and helping ministries, providing assistance in the functioning of the local church and the people with special needs. Where do we have ministries that fit the relating category?
Youth club. Sunday school.
Pardon?
Sunday school. Bible studies.
Pardon?
Bible studies.
Small groups, Bible studies.
Bible school.
Bible school. And the helping ministries. What commission does that? Pardon?
Disaster response.
Deacons. One of our commissions starts with a W. Witness. Anything else you want to throw up there? Well, don't throw up, but put up there.
Prayer groups.
What else was said? Sunday school. All right, well, keep thinking about that. Ministries. Exactly. Yeah, Nurture Commission fits in there again. Ministries that equip, administrative ministries, ministering through church leadership positions to the people who are part of the organization of the church and the congregation, support and encouragement ministries, providing spiritual, social, financial, and or emotional support for people in mission or in times of stress. Wholeness ministry. Relating creator and creation, providing for healing and reconciliation among people through social structures and in our world. Again, where do we have ministries that equip? Deacons again.
The board.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about administrative ministries. Mm-hmm. Pardon? Witness again.
Executive. Because they make our work cohesive and they bring out people to
worship commission?
Worship. Yeah. Yeah. I think the prayer chain could go here.
Prayer chain? Sure.
Can we do special offerings?
Ah, yes. Our financial support of ministries outside the church. Financial and volunteer, like those of you who are involved in painting at the Family Promise House. So, equipping. All right, let's move on. Ministries that send. Workplace ministries. Relating to people in the workplace in ways that reflect our identity as Christians and our personal and social concern. Community ministry. Being involved in activities that exemplify Christian concern and care for social and personal needs in the surrounding community. You're seeing a lot of overlap here. And witness ministries. Taking advantage of opportunities and techniques for evangelism and faith sharing in varied settings at home and around the world. Ministries that send.
Witness. Quilting.
The sewing group. Absolutely.
Pregnancy center.
Under the Oaks. What, Tom?
Family Promise.
If you look at Witness Commission's budget and everywhere money goes, we have to write on the wall.
Special offerings.
What do you think about that workplace ministries one? I thought I had to stop and think about that. Are we equipping each other?
I think that's in part of us in here.
Uh-huh. Right.
So, all believers.
Yeah.
In a way, it's what we do at Sunday school, what we're doing through this course here to equip us.
Right.
Do that.
Absolutely.
I would say too, the prayers, like the congregational give people as they're facing difficult workplace situations where they're trying to share.
Right. Our prayers, the written prayers on Sunday that we lift to God. So looking at that, is there anything missing that you want to add? Or that should be there?
I think we support each other.
We're supporting each other. Maybe put that in the middle, Don.
How about Pastor?
Where do you want to put me?
Yes. Yes. You need to be top, but you are a shepherd.
Well, shepherd sometimes is in the middle and behind and the shepherd smells like the sheep. Y'all smell good. Well, we have to put Jesus Christ above all of this, right? All of it, yeah. Don't put me at the top. Which ministries, you know, when you're evaluating this, when you're talking about this in your small groups and in your homes and in your Sunday school classes, which of these are directed to church members and those who come in the doors? Which are directed to the community and the world? Which are activities that originate outside the church? We are involved in community efforts. In congregations, this is interesting. Every congregation has its own personality, and every congregation will have different ways of reaching out. And often that originates from people within the community to say, this is on my heart. And here's an opportunity for us to reach out in this way. And that's beautiful. So we can't look at another congregation and say, oh, we must be like them. And they shouldn't look at us and say, oh, we must be like them. We all have our own areas where God is calling us to serve. We're all different parts of the body of Christ. Do we have a good balance of ministries directed inward and outward? And my evaluation is yes.
We don't have choir up there.
Where do you want to put the choir?
I think it's overall. And we didn't put up our performances.
Oh, yes. Yes. That is definitely that proclamation. The dramas and the choirs, yeah. Sending our youth to Momentum. That is a huge equipping thing for them. So continue that conversation, particularly, you know, that's a good conversation for the board to have. Where are we engaged in all of these things, and where might God be calling us to? So, personal question. In which of these are you a participant? Because this goes along with your spiritual inventories. That's something for you to think about and pray about. Are you a participant? Because all believers are to be engaged in this work. The gifts, spiritual gifts, are divine abilities to bring about justice, wholeness, and righteousness. Thank you, God. Simplified and exemplified in the life and works of Jesus Christ. Because the ultimate goal of revealing God's glory in all things and persons is the central theme of the four passages that talk about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are special, extraordinary abilities that God gives to build up the body of Christ, the church, for ministry to its members and through its members to the world. Because the church can do anything for the betterment of humanity, when it is receptive to God's energizing grace through the Holy Spirit, I like this phrase, we do not have to waste our time and energy worrying about the welfares of persons and the world. I had to stop and think about that. There are enough people to care for the needs of the world when we are engaged in God's ministry empowered by His Spirit. If we do it. We can confidently believe that God will take care of the world's needs as we faithfully receive and use our spiritual gifts. More than this we cannot do, less than this we dare not. We have the plan, equipment, and divine empowerment to be instruments for redemption for the whole human family. The gifts of the Spirit guarantee immediate and lasting results. What do you think about that? That long paragraph. There are enough needs and enough people to go around. When we are engaged in praying and asking God, what are we to be doing? He will show us. One band, one sound. Unity with diversity. Imagine if we all had the gift of being the choir. What about all this other stuff? We wouldn't be the church, we would be a choir. Imagine if we were all stewards. Imagine if we were all gifted with whatever you want to choose. We are gifted with the diversity and creativity of the Spirit. When each part works as the Spirit designates and equips us to do, transformation happens. One of my favorite movies. What did you notice?
They worked as one.
Worked as one.
They were happy about people
waiting. They were all their own singing techniques.
Yes.
Individually to the betterment of the whole.
Right. Working together, using their gifts for one purpose. Yeah.
Joy.
Rhythm.
Rhythm. Alma had her batteries charged. What was the result? And you couldn't hear it, but they said, what's going on? What's that sound in there? What's going on? And there was one person that wasn't too happy with what was going on, wasn't there? But the priest is like, come on. That's a beautiful illustration of what happens when we surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives individually and the guidance of Jesus Christ as the director for one reason, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's joyful. When we see what God is doing in us and through us and in spite of us, it is amazing. And we know it wasn't under our power, it was under our giving up power and receiving the gifts of Jesus Christ. Any other comments you'd like to make? I wish I could play these during the church service, but we can't because we live feed and I don't have permission to do that, but it's Sister Act. You can find that on YouTube. Yes? Yes. Wayne has the gift of distribution.
Equipping.
Next Sunday, Harold will be teaching and preaching. But I'd like you to really pray about this list. Where, as you're discovering your gifts, and I've had individual conversations with people who are saying, whoa, what is this? Where are you already at work? Where is God calling you to in the ministries of the church? And it should be a joyful, joyful thing to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you came to serve, not to be served. Help us to do the same. We don't come to church to get something. We come to give ourselves and worship. We want you, Jesus, to be glorified in us and through us. The joy is what spills out. And all those around us see it and are invited in. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.